This morning we talk about finding great security in the faithfulness of God. The verse that you quoted and the verses that have just been read have declared to us that the only way to be delivered from disappointment and even despair is to find your security in one place, in the faithfulness of God. Now, why is it the only way to be delivered from disappointment and despair? Because as we read there, as we quoted, only God is always, 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 always faithful. Only God is always faithful. The verse that we read there in 2 Timothy 2 and verses 12 and 13, when you put those verses together, he says in verse 12, if we endure, we'll reign with him. In other words, God rewards your obedience. Your obedience is not an indifferent matter to him. If we deny him, he will deny us. He's talking about you. There's a dignity to your responses before the Lord. But it says, if we are faithless, he will still remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So it's not that there's not a great dignity in your response, but your security is not in your response, it is in his. Because your faithfulness will be not perfect. His will be absolutely perfect. So if you put your ultimate trust in yourself or anybody else, you will be subject to disappointment, to despair. God is always faithful even when you are not. The passage there that we did not read, I don't think, but Romans 3:3-4, he says it this way. He says, although every man were a liar, as I read in verse 3, he says, what if some did not believe, Romans 3:3, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, even though every man be found a liar. I remember a dear, faithful, godly pastor, extremely well-known, pastor of a large Baptist church in Dallas, Texas. And he had these, maybe I've alluded to this before, he had these little Monday morning, about 3 or 4 Monday, all I can say is no one knew about him because there was just a handful of us there. But he shared a lot of secrets of his heart and his life and his ministry. And remember, there were several things that made indelible imprints upon my heart. And one thing he said was this. He said, if every pastor I knew fell into moral sin, it would not shake my faith in Christ one iota. He didn't say it wouldn't break his heart. He says it wouldn't shake my faith in Christ because my faith is in a perfect Christ. It's not in what? The imperfect representatives of Christ. Although every man prove a liar, what? God is true. God is faithful. You will despair if you put your ultimate trust in anyone other than the Lord. Only he is always, always, always faithful. Only he, the closer you look at him, the better he looks. You can't say that about any of us, but you can say it about him. He is truly beautiful. He can be scrutinized, and he's still what? Beautiful. Only he's always faithful. Only he is the verse you memorized. And that actually is said twice in that, once in Romans 9 and once in Romans 10, so you memorized. Only he will never, ever, ever disappoint you. Only he will never, ever disappoint you. Other people have disappointed you. You've disappointed yourself. But only God will never disappoint you. You know, the familiar passage we know is we look at the context of that passage, you know, in Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all else, desperately wicked. But you know, right before he says that, he gives us instruction there in Jeremiah 17. First of all, he tells us who not to trust and who to trust. And it's related to the idea of he who trusts in him will never be disappointed. In Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6, it says, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts, Jeremiah 17:5. He will be like a bush in the desert. He will not see when prosperity comes, but he will live in stony places in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. But in contrast to verse 5 and 6, is what you see in verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. whose trust is the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted by the water that extends its root by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to bear fruit. Now, after that is what the heart is desperately wicked, because we're still looking for somebody to put our trust in other than the Lord God Almighty. Although He alone is faithful, He alone will never disappoint you. As I've told you this story, there's a couple stories I think I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again. And this was the one, this idea of I'll never be disappointed. It was at my father-in-law's last birthday party. We didn't know it was his last, but we know it's his last now. His 80th birthday party, and the grandchildren were there, and it was at grandfather night, and my son was jumping out of his seat trying to ask him the question before the, and my youngest son. And his question was, Grandfather, what's your greatest joy you've ever experienced in life, and what's your greatest disappointment? And his joy was he talked about his salvation experience there in World War II, being in a plane that was being shot through with enemy aircraft, and didn't look like he was going to make it through that mission. And he said, Lord, I've heard the gospel many times before. Always thought I had plenty of time, but I'm reaching up to you for your salvation. And that was on a March 6th. And my second-born son was saved on a March 6th, 50 years to the date of his grandfather's salvation. And so we treasure the video we have of on the celebration of Michael's spiritual birthday, my wife videotaping her dad talking about his salvation experience, and even had a model of the plane he was in. And so we even showed that video, which some of you saw maybe at his memorial service, in the way of getting the gospel out to all who had were able to attend. So, but he said that was his greatest joy. And said, okay, Grandfather, what was your greatest disappointment? And he struggled and he struggled and he struggled. He says, you know, I've really never had a disappointment. And that's when I shared this verse. I said, I think, family, what he's saying is those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed, because I knew my father-in-law had had a lot of economic setbacks. He should have died a wealthy, 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 wealthy man because of certain things. And he was a brilliant man. He, the underground tunnel system in Chicago was his invention, his project, you know. So, but he loved his work, and his only fault was that he thought everybody was as honest as he was, you know. And so, but when he said he'd never been disappointed, he wasn't trying to lie to himself, because that doesn't help anybody. But it was just, I think he always dreamed of being able to give very generously to his family. That was always his intention, always his desire, always what he thought would be the plan. And but I sense, lived on Social Security, it's all he had at the end, and my mother-in-law has still been taken care of. But I think he saw his family richer by not having that. As I said, he had a brother that was a medical doctor, and there were more means that were passed down. And it wasn't a blessing in that case. Now, some cases it can be a great blessing. But I think when he said, I've never been disappointed, he saw, you know, God, I was cheated, but God, you overruled that. You didn't disappoint me. You had my good in mind. You had my heritage's good in mind. God says what? He will not disappoint you. It doesn't mean that you'll always get your way. You won't always get your way. But if you work it out before God, God, how did you work for good that which I wouldn't have wanted? That which you allowed. God will not disappoint you if you put your trust in Him. See, the only way to be delivered from disappointment and despair is to trust in Him alone. And you know, the wonderful thing is, He is, why you won't be delivered from disappointment and despair, God says He is faithful to forgive you of your unfaithfulness. I like that passage. We won't turn to it, but Jeremiah 3:22 talks about God healing our unfaithfulness. God, every one of us here sits before God as ones who have not been perfectly faithful to Him. But what He says, I can heal that unfaithfulness. I don't hold that against you. You come to me, and you can count upon my response. I'm faithful and I'm righteous. I don't compromise. To be able to what? Offer you what? Continual cleansing and forgiveness. Sending any barrier away, I can heal you of your unfaithfulness. So, finding great security in the faithfulness of God. We sit here this morning not having perfect records. If we stood upon our record, we would be condemned. But we don't stand upon our record. We stand upon the record as one who's perfectly faithful and he imputes his perfect record to us. Also, not only is it the only way to be delivered from disappointment and despair, because he says, if you trust me, I won't be disappointed. He says, I'll always be faithful. I can even heal you of your unfaithfulness. But also, it's the finding great security in the faithfulness of God is the only way to secure the things that you truly treasure. As you sit here this morning, there are things that you treasure that are very, very important to you. Your life is very important to you. Your loved ones are very important to you. Your concerns are very important to you. There are many things that are legitimately very, very important to you. And that verse that we read, that precious verse in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, I know whom I have believed, and I know he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him. See, if you have something that you treasure, God would say, would you entrust that to the Lord? Would you entrust that to me? See, here's the deceit that's in everybody's heart. It's this. The more you treasure something, the more there's a part of you that longs to try to control it. You say, hey, if I can control it, you say, because you know this about yourself, you say, I have self-interest. I'll look after me. And so you'll try to control it. You know, but what you try to control is up to you to worry about. It's up to you to lose sleep over. But God says, would you what? Would you entrust it to me? I'm able to guard what I've entrusted to him. I'll tell you a story I think I've said before, and that is, it was the initial thought of this was from a Jerry Benjamin, who said that, and he almost always travels by himself now because of his wife Linda's health, but in the early days, most of the time, he was, Linda and Katie were with him traveling. But he said when he was traveling alone, he found himself praying harder, saying, God, would you look after Linda and Katie in my absence? But as he was praying that one day, it's like God rebuked him, saying, who do you think looks after him when they're with you? Now, I know exactly what he feels. Sometimes when my little flock is around me, I sort of feel more secure. I sort of feel more in control. He says, who do you think looks after him when you're with him? And I told you that story of the where God that was so powerfully brought that home to me is when my wife was pregnant with our third child, who's now 16 years old. But she was pregnant and she was very sick there in bed, and I was playing with the other two out in front of our house there where there's a field, and at that particular time it's where Wheaton College played baseball, and I was watching a baseball game with my two boys. I've told you this story, and there on the third base side they had a batting net, so I could be there inside the batting net real close to the field, and I'd bought them a new T-ball and a new T-ball bat, and there was age 7 and 5 orchestrating every move they made. Now back up, okay, now it's okay to hit the ball. And right on top of them, obviously, hey, I wouldn't let anything bad happen to them. And inexplicably to me, at least, right as Will, the 7-year-old, swung the bat, Michael stepped forward, and the law of physics happened. Did what? The bat hit him, and blood everywhere. And the intense coach who was coaching third base looked over there in the middle of the game, and he ran over. He says, we got to get you some emergency medical help. And so I got him in the car, rushed him off to get some emergency medical help. I told Will he felt terrible about it and whatnot, that it was his fault. But I said, you know, your job is don't say anything to mommy until Michael looks a lot better. And so there we went, but it was... We got there into the emergency medical help. It's like we were just walking into the arms of God, the way that God cared for us or whatever. And it was, and if you would have to study Michael to really see that there's a scar underneath, but it's hardly even noticeable, even though there was a lot of stitches or whatever. And we got a call there in the doctor's office, and they tracked us down. And Will was crying. I'm sorry, Daddy. She got it out of me. But you know, the thing is, right there on top of him, right there on top, I didn't keep it from happening. I didn't keep it from happening. So things really are not as secure as you think they are if you think I can just control it. Right on top of it. So the only way to secure your treasures is to put them into God's hands. Honor him. That was the verse I told you I was meditating on that weekend. He who honors me, I will honor. And as I meditated, you know, that I said, Lord, wow, you know, I called the little church, the pastor was at the church at that time. I said, look, I'd like to give a 2-minute testimony. I just want to honor the Lord as I'm going to church and my boy is okay, and I could be, and so I was able to do that. And that was on a Thursday that happened, that baseball game. And as I told you, on the Saturday, after that, they had a doubleheader. They were the only game, baseball game, played in the whole area, high school, college, anyhow, because it looked like it was very inclement weather. It's going to rain any time, so I don't know why they... But they said, let's just start the first game, and maybe we can get a few innings in, and maybe we can even get a game. Well, they got the game in. That's where I told you that down three runs, and this sounds fictitious, but it's absolutely true. Down three runs, and they hit a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth to win the game. And the second game said, well, we didn't think we was going to get the first game in. Let's just go right ahead and try to get the exact same scenario the second game. Down three runs, hit a grand slam, and after the guy crossed home plate, it just like it rained cats and dogs. And they just got new uniforms, and the guy told me the equipment manager was terribly mad at him because they just circled the bases sliding in the mud. They were so deliriously happy of winning this doubleheader. And you know, that was on a Saturday. On the Friday before, that whole team, or most of them, I don't know, about 14 or 15 of them, showed up at my door with a baseball that they had autographed, he still has, and with a jersey, you know. That it was like a nightgown then, this little five-year-old, but now it finally fits him. But and just say, I want to know how your son's doing or whatever. And you know, on that Saturday night, as I had witnessed that game, that was just so strange. And as I've meditated on that verse, he who honors me, I will honor. I knew I wanted to give a testimony that day in church. But as I thought about it, that I said, God, I just think something strange happened on that baseball field. And not that God always, I believe, God, you honored that team. That coach who left that game, and he's a very intense coach. I still know that guy to this day. In fact, a little book that I've written, Experiencing the Pleasure of Believing God, I write up that story on the very back of that book, the story I'm telling you. In fact, when I told the coach, they had a reunion of that team last year. And that coach got a book for every player, you know, that obviously had witnessed that. They had witnessed that thing. And so that was very, very special. Well, I've relived it with that coach many, many times. In fact, I looked him up on Monday morning, and after that, they had won that game in that spectacular way. And I said, look, I want to just thank you again. I found him Monday afternoon. Thank you again for leaving the game. Thank you for, you don't really know me. You don't really know my little five-year-old, but your whole team came and showed concern and love. And I believe God honored you in a very special way. The way he controlled the weather and the way that he allowed you to win in that spectacular way. And I believe that was a thing of God. I can still see him looking at me. He says, God's Spirit is speaking to me. God's Spirit is speaking to me. I heard you shared that at the banquet. Well, the only way to secure your treasures is not to try to control them, but to put them in the hand of God. Don't you love the phrase? I know it does. You do. It says that in the familiar phrase, he is faithful to all generations. He's faithful to all generations. There's going to be a time if the Lord tarries, and even though our society is falling apart, and we've just so, you know, the evil one, the way he's continually knocking down any sense of God's design, and just on the radio coming here, whatever, some college or whatever, they're going to make all the bathrooms unisex, you know. And that would just, just ludicrous things, you know, not like thinking people, you know, would think this. But if God allows us to tarry, there'll be some of us that won't be here. But God will still be here. And he's faithful to what? All generations. He's faithful to all generations. Isn't it wonderful that your child or your grandchild is more secure, you placing them in God's hands, than you, what, holding them in yours? He's faithful to all generations. You know, that little adage that I so appreciate. Yesterday, God helped me. Today, he will do the same. How long will it last? Forever, praise his name. Yesterday, God helped me. All of us can see the yesterdays of our life. God helped me. Yesterday, God helped me. Yesterday, God helped me. You know, I think of this. This comes to mind. My wife and I were able to get away for a few days. And as we were leaving yesterday to come back, and, you know, we last minute we said, well, let's get some breakfast before we leave. And got a call from the place we'd stayed at, saying, you know, you've left a sack of books. I'd left 20 books there. I didn't realize it. And you know, that praise God, you know, I mean, God looked after me, you know. Got the 20 books, you know, that were not mine that I needed to return to a library. So Yesterday God helped me. Today He will do the same. How long will it last? Forever, praise His name. No matter what happens to our culture, what happens to anything, God will be absolutely faithful. And so you can trust God. And I so appreciated this story that Gil Beers shared with me. He's written a lot of children's books, the Toddler's Bible and many, many books, countless books. But he spoke one night to a little father-son gathering that I'd put together. And it was, he says, I want to talk to you about heritage. And he talked about two grandmothers on his wife's side. His one great-great-great-grandmother, and then his wife's grandmother. Grandma Rudy is who they affectionately called her. Grandma Rudy. She was married to a pastor in Iowa, and he died. She had three children. She was pregnant with a fourth. He was a faithful, godly man, but had no means. He left her penniless, and she did not have enough money to put a roof over her head, so she had to move in with a relative, and with her three children and with the fourth that was on the way. And so Grandma Rudy, society would have looked at her as a pitiful lady, and she could have despaired. But instead, she said, you know, my mission in life is to pray for my children and for my unborn grandchildren. And as he told that story that night, I was so amazed at it. I said, would you please write that up? Oh, yeah, I can write that up with no problem at all. And so he wrote up what he told us. And I won't read all, but all the details are there. You know, of course, one of the children, her children, was his Gilbert's mother-in-law, and one of the grandchildren was his wife. Grandma Rudy left 17 grandchildren, all Christians with Christian mates, all of whom raised their children for the Lord. And he documents all that. Francis and Clifford Leonard, 43 years in Japan. Pearl and Bill Allen, 10 years as medical missionaries in Congo. Goes on and on and on. There are 50-plus great-grandchildren, to my knowledge, all Christians. And then he documents all that. And the thing I was so impressed with is a few years ago, 12 of those 17 grandchildren said, met together and coveted to pray for each other to keep, let's keep going what Grandma Rudy started. God is faithful to all generations. So, you know, our prayers can outlive us. We can store up prayers in heaven that can outlive us. And that's a thrilling prospect. He is faithful to all generations. Faithful to all generations. So the only way to be delivered from disappointment and despair is to what? Trust in God and God alone. The only way to secure our treasures is to what? Place them into the hands of a faithful God. And also, the only way to feel secure about the future is to depend upon a faithful God. He is not going to change. One thing is certain about your life and about the culture we live in, it's going to change. It's going to change. A person can, and you know, if you don't live in fear because you're trusting in a faithful God, but sometimes a person can be the look like just what the peak of health, and boom, things change. I remember a dear student, you know, that I had a few years ago, and I mean, in that class, it was he was a pastor from Minnesota. And if you looked at the class, the healthiest looking, you know, broad-shouldered, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, the guy, Scandinavian, that said, wow, that guy's the picture of health. And it was, boom, 2 years later, you know, his body was just shriveling away. And he was a godly man, and he wrote a blog that really, God gave him a great impact through his life. He even wrote a little book on that called A Place Called Surrender, about, you know, surrendering this to God as he trusted the Lord with that. And God did take him home, and he left a widow, and he left three children. I appreciate it. Another person in that same class took a real bond, and you know, he went with him every time he needed. And this guy had several children too, but he went with him for those medical treatments, and I'm going to be with you. And when he sensed God taking him home, he said, you don't worry, I will make sure that what? There's a father figure in your children's life. And he was faithful to that until the widow remarried. You know, that student, maybe I've told you before, he had finished everything in regard to his graduate degree, with the exception at that particular time we had a sort of a master's project they had to do. And he had not finished that. And so I brought to the faculty, I said, you know, he wrote this book, and it sold thousands of copies. You know, at that time of the thing, it sold about five. Why don't we count that as his project, and let's graduate him, even though he's in heaven, and let his widow come up and take it, and they all agreed to that. And that was a very, very special graduation. And we made arrangement that every graduate got a copy of his book, A Place Called Surrender. So, but that guy, his life changed, but God was still faithful. God was still faithful. And God is taking care of his widow. God is taking care of his kids. But his life was not destined to be long on this earth. But the only way to feel secure about your future is to trust in the faithfulness of God. And I've told you this verse. It meant so much to me as I saw my mother die. And I count upon it as we trust the Lord with my mother-in-law. And there in Isaiah 46, 3 and 4, I remind you of it again. When God speaks to his people, he says, you who have, Isaiah 46, 3, a precious verse that I've shared with you before, you who have been born by me from birth, and I've carried you from the womb. Lord, I took care of you when you were a helpless baby. Even to your old age, I'm going to be the same. See, why can you feel confident about the future? Not because, what, of some ability in you, not because of your ability to take care of yourself. You may return, like I saw my mother, to the helpless state of when she was a baby. And what a trial that was to my mother. My mother, who had the gift of service, and growing up in her home, she loved to do everything for you, and it was hard to do things for her because she just was firstborn that did everything for herself. But all that was taken away. She couldn't do anything for anybody else. She couldn't do anything for herself. The greatest test that could be given her. But God still looked after her. God took care of her. She was a widow at a young age. My dad died at 52. But God took care of her until she was 88, being a widow those, almost 40 years. But God took care of her. She only had she's a brilliant lady, but she only had a high school education. She never went to college, never had the means or the encouragement to go, but God took care of her. God took care of her to the very end. And so your confidence is in what? Not in you, not in your ability, but what is in the Lord. He is faithful. He's faithful. Even to your old age, even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it. I will carry you. I will bear you. I will deliver you. So God's saying, you're secure about the future because of what? You know, as you sit here this morning and as you worship the God, that you can feel secure about the future. Boy, that's worth a lot, is it not? I mean, that's worth more than millions of dollars because they could be taken away from it. We don't know what could happen in the changing world we have or whatever. Nothing, but no one can take him away from you. And so you can feel secure, you know, to feel secure about your future. And I think the thing that means so much to each of us is we want to finish well. We want to finish well. And, you know, that's not automatic. The Apostle Paul wouldn't write what he wrote in the end of 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, when he says, I buffet my body, I make it, put it under subjection, lest after having preached to others, I would be disqualified. So it's not automatic. And he talks about the others, of God's people who had great privileges, and yet what? Most of them, God was not well pleased. They were laid low in the wilderness. They did not enter into that promised land. So it's not automatic. But I'm saying this, as you worship God and it's absolutely faithful, would you say, God, I want to put my life in your hands, and God, I want to believe you. I don't trust myself. Lord, I'll disappoint myself. I want to trust you, and I want to believe you that I would finish strong. I want to believe you that I would finish strong. Believe God. Believe God to the very end. Don't trust yourself, but believe him. He's faithful. George Whitfield, this is an interesting story. His prayer that God led, he said, Lord, I want to die preaching. I want to die preaching. And he was very, very sick. Really, he was probably too sick and too tired to preach, but he said, the pulpit's what was good for him. So he went on, even though he was vomiting, shivering, and he preached. And then after he preached that long sermon, then he was taken, helped to his horse and brought home, and then there was a crowd there to meet him at home saying, would you preach to us again before you go to bed? Well, he didn't quite. First of all, he had asthma, whatever, but he says, okay, and then he gave him a short sermon, and then he went to bed, and then he died in bed. You know, that was his longing to what? Well, what longing do you have? I just say, you know, I've shared with you that verse, and you stand with me with it. With you all stand together. I love the older man's, his cry and his prayer there in Psalm 71. Even in verse 18 is, even when I'm old and gray, don't forsake me until I declare your power to the next generation. But the verse that's three verses later, I so appreciate this older man, Psalm 71:21, when he says, and I've shared this with you, and I'll share it again. I beg of you to stand with me and believe God for this. Not, don't trust ourselves, but believe Him. Where he says, God, increase my greatness. And remember greatness. Jesus says, if you want to be great, be a servant to all. So he's saying, God, even as I'm older here, would you increase my opportunities to serve? Increase my opportunities to serve. Increase my opportunities to serve. It's so easy, and I've just sensed the incredible temptation as a person gets older, is sometimes they think, I've done enough. I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be comfortable. And that's an urge inside of a person. It's even greater as you get older. But he says, no. He says, you increase my opportunities to serve. Show me what your assignment is for me now. And God, then he says, you turn to comfort me. I'm going to trust to God to comfort me. I'm not going to live for that comfort. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. So lay that before the Lord. Say, God, not only want to finish strong, I want to finish with eagerness in my heart. I know what it's like to lose that eagerness. I know what it's like to sort of wane. You're tired and you're worn out. So only God can keep that going. It's what our bodies are decaying. But what? He can renew our inner man and give us that eagerness to serve Him. That's the way to feel secure about our future. Well, the last thing we'd say is, if we can find such security in the faithfulness of God, it demands a response. It demands a response. If you understand, and I'm my prayer is that this would sink into your soul, that you can see that what God is absolutely faithful. That in the midst of any changing situation in your life, He is going to be what? Unchangingly faithful. It demands a response. That's why the Scripture says we are to declare His faithfulness. We are to make it known. Can you make it known that even though every man was a liar, what, God will be truthful? Can you make it known that what, He'll never disappoint you? That's a glorious thing. That you can say, there's somebody who will never disappoint me. And God says, not only make it known, review it every day. I like Psalm 90 in verse 2. He says, I declare His loving kindness in the morning. I declare His faithfulness every night. Declare His faithfulness every night. Look back at that day. Even if part of declaring His faithfulness is what? You've had to depend upon His faithfulness to what? Heal your unfaithfulness. If you look back at a day without a perfect record, He says, you know, I can heal that unfaithfulness. I can be faithful and forgive you. Review the faithfulness of God. I write down His gracious, faithful provisions for that day. And tell it to your children. Isaiah 38:19 talks about tell your the faithfulness of God to your children. Tell them, I said, you know, this thing that gives me peace is what? I have placed you into the hand of God. I placed you in the hand of God. And I want you to know this, that what? His spankings will always hurt a lot more than mine. And so what? He's faithful and He loves you so much, He wants you to share His righteousness. And so I'm putting you in the hands of God. And that's why I can sleep at night. Because I'm placing you in the hands of God. And He is what? He's faithful. He never has to sleep. He never has to slumber. What? He's faithful. He's faithful. So tell it to your children and worship God. Worship God for it. Worship God that He's faithful. You know the wonderful thing that can happen? As you worship a faithful God, He can do something in your life and in my life. Scripture says, as we behold His glory, we're changed from glory to glory. And a part of that glory is His glorious faithfulness. As we worship Him, He can make us into faithful people. That's why the Apostle Paul says, he says, you know, by the mercy of God, I'm a trustworthy man. He says, I certainly don't have a record. In fact, I thought I was doing right when I was persecuting Christians. I was that messed up. But by the mercy of God, I'm a trustworthy man. And God can mercifully transform our life into faithful people. He won't change. And He can make you into something that you're not. He can make you and me into faithful people. Well, finding great security in the faithfulness of God. Let's bow for prayer. We worship You, God, that You're faithful. We ask, God, that You write this upon our hearts, upon our loved ones' hearts. We find, want to worship you that you're faithful to all generations. And Lord, in the midst of a changing culture, the things that greatly disturb us, we thank you that we afresh put our hands, put our arms and lives into your arms and hands, and pray that you will look after us and bring great glory to your name as you do so. And we pray, God, that you would help us all to finish strong. We pray you would help us to finish, Lord, with eagerness in our heart. We pray that in Christ's name. Renew each one of our spirits today in the way we needed to be renewed, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Meet every need, Lord Jesus, in this congregation here today, the ones that are not even able to be with us. We pray, God, for your great, great hand of faithful hand upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.